Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Grand Cast. Take 2. We've been sitting here talking for like 20 minutes and it wasn't recording. So that's where we're at. Today is Friday, March 10th, 2017. It is now 9:40 p.m., later recording time than normal. My guest this evening is the one, the only, Mr. Andy Cash. Thanks for being here tonight, Andy, and for tolerating my technical incompetence.
Oh, you're fine, Chris. No worries, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. So, start of every episode, go over the mission statement. It's slightly different this week. Ever so slightly. The purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. And what's different this week is I added a comma between Grand Rapids and Michigan, because I think it's grammatically correct. And it looks better. So that's all that's changed. I think it's settling into a comfortable statement.
Yeah.
And then the goals. There's 2 goals for the podcast. The first one is to post 1 new episode weekly, which I've pretty much hit. Last week's was a little bit late. Sorry about that, Sean. I'll try to do better. The second goal is to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content, which I think we're going to do tonight, Andy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
We're going to make this happen.
It is happening, people. Right now. What did we talk about for? Bowling?
Yeah, bowling was in there.
There's some bowling talk.
Yeah, I live by a bowling alley. Because we were like, well, let's get the ball rolling.
Oh, yes. And we didn't know if the correct phrasing was, let's get the show on the road.
Yeah,
because we're sitting here. We're not going on the road.
I mean, I guess if we had, like, you know, one of those steering wheels, like the little kid steering wheels.
Ooh.
That might change things up a bit.
Yeah. Or if we did one of the, like, the comedians in cars getting coffee, that would be getting the show on
the road.
That'd
be good.
It'd be dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't want to record while I'm driving.
No.
We could maybe take an Uber.
Yeah, like you could do one of these.
Just drive us Uber. Around the city.
Yeah. Hey, just drive us around.
Hour.
Yeah.
That'd be an expensive Uber. Actually, you could just have them park because Uber drivers only get paid, I think it's 15 cents per minute.
Oh.
So that would be like $9. Just have them park. They'd probably be very upset. Yeah. So, yeah, look, I think we decided to go bowling sometime.
Yeah.
That's the conclusion of that.
Yeah, totally.
Because you took a class in bowling.
Yeah. I did. I took a class at when I was in community college, a bowling class. But the only thing that sucked is, like, you know, you had to pay for the class, but then every time you'd go there, you'd have to pay, like, I think $5 or something like that for shoes and a ball and, you know, other reasons.
Nachos.
Yeah, nachos. I mean, if you wanted a hot dog, there was arcade games there.
Ooh. Any good ones?
I think they had, like, maybe, like, Area 51.
Ooh, classic light gun game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So good.
And then I can't remember what pinball. I think they had, like, a pinball machine. And then I think they had, like, one of those old, like, Daytona 94 or whatever, like one of those racing games. So, and then a claw machine, classic for, like,
oh yeah,
any bowling alley has a claw machine.
Oh yeah.
I suck at the claw machine.
I think it's rigged. I think that's how they do it. Like, it's based on the number of quarters that have been put in, the strength with which the claw grips the animal.
Yeah, because I feel like it doesn't even really grip it.
No, sometimes you know what I mean? It doesn't.
Because it'll just, like, it'll always slide off or, like...
It lets go, like, halfway up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just like, what the heck? I don't know.
They totally bamboozle you. Yeah. First question. What is your favorite color?
Ooh, that's an easy one. It's red.
Is there a particular shade of red?
No, just red in general. Really anything red is cool in my book.
How about maroon? That's kind of purpley. Is that like too dark of a red?
No, my first car was actually red. Well, it was maroon rather, but I like just considered it red. Yeah. I was like, yeah, my car's red. But I didn't mind it. That it was like actually maroon.
It's a nice color. Is your favorite number by any chance the number 5?
No.
Oh.
Why do you ask?
Cuz Adam Levine.
Oh, like being a skater boy?
That is, I think it's his daughter, Avril.
Close. Oh, Avril, yeah.
Yeah. He's the lead singer for the band Maroon 5.
So color, I see.
Number, yeah.
I see what you did there.
Mm.
Yeah, I never did.
Thank you.
Yeah. I got your back, Chris. I never did skateboard.
Me either. I saw too many videos on... Well, probably back then it would have been like America's Funniest Home Videos. There was no internet video. So like just people landing on rails and exploding their ball sacks.
Oh, God. It's so bad.
Oh. Like painful to watch. Like you could feel it when you could hear them pop sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Little. Bye-bye ball.
Bye-bye ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get that ball rolling.
Yeah. Rolling. Ain't slept in weeks. That's the song. I think it's about doing drugs.
Yeah, I think so. Because there's also rolling. Keep them doggies rolling.
Rawhide. That's a good song.
I love the Blues Brothers, by the way.
What was it, Blues Brothers 3000 or 2000? Like with the long delayed sequel?
Yeah, with John Goodman played basically the John Belushi character.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we're sorry your brother died. And John Belushi did die.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yep. Now we got Jim.
Yeah, Jim Belushi. Yeah. Was that movie K-9 or something?
I don't know.
Where he's like the police officer. He also played one of the bad Santa Clauses in Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Classic. That was classic Jim Belushi. That was like Jim Belushi, I think, at his best.
He peaked?
Yeah, that was like his peak moment in his career.
Oh boy.
It was Jingle All the Way.
You gotta watch him climax on the big screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How did you first get involved in performing comedy?
Ooh, well, my brother actually was the one who got me started into improv. He started taking classes at Go Comedy in Ferndale, like Detroit area, and when he was done with the classes, he like got more involved and he was like, you know, man, you should really start doing it. You would really enjoy it. So I ended up taking their an eight week program. And I took the first class and fell in love with it. Really, really enjoyed it. It's it was a good way to channel my, you know, because I was always like the goofy kid in school, like the kind of the funnier kid, awkward, funny, whatever, loud. And it was a good way for me to kind of like own my skills and like kind of focus that energy into something rather than just kind of being sporadic and kind of all over the place.
And what is Go Comedy? I'm not familiar with them.
So basically Go Comedy, it's out of Ferndale, Michigan. Basically like right outside of Detroit, pretty close. People will be like I'll go to Ferndale to like see a concert or something, and they're like, "What's up, Detroit?" And everyone's like, "No, this isn't Detroit," which I mean it isn't, but it's so dang close. It's like, whatever. You're pretty much there. Like, you're a hop, skip, and a jump away. It doesn't even really matter. Just call it Detroit. I usually tell people if they don't know what Dearborn is, mm-hmm. I'll just be like, "I'm from Detroit," and they're like, you get the gist of what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so it's in Ferndale, Michigan. They have four, like, beginner courses, and those are 8 weeks each. And then they have an advanced course, which kind of dips more into long form. Mm. And they have four advanced courses that are all 8 weeks each. And I believe each class is $225. So a little pricey, but
8 weeks of classes.
Yeah. So it's not too bad. And each class is, well, that's the thing too. It's like only one day a week for 3 hours, but it's still a substantial amount of time. You get to meet people. I met a lot of cool people doing it. And it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. What are your top five NES games? The Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh boy.
Top five ish. Not in any particular order. It doesn't have to be exactly five. Just like, what are some of your favorite Nintendo games, basically?
Okay. Well, off the top of my head, I'll have to say Excitebike is one of, definitely up there. Oh, that's, yeah, just classic NES right there. I feel like Excitebike. And then, of course, Duck Hunt. That's another just, like, classic NES game. But the only thing that sucks is you can't play it on a flat-screen TV.
Yeah, it's got to be the old CRTs.
Mm-hmm. Got
to
have
harder that. And harder to come by these days.
Yeah. True that, man. True that. I'm going to have to say Super Mario Brothers.
One?
Yes. But the thing is like all of them are pretty good except number two.
It's kind of a number two.
Yeah.
Poop.
It's a poop.
It's a poop.
Well, because actually the second one was originally a game in Japan called Doki Doki Panic. And you were like a family, and that's why it's so much different than the original Mario Brothers, because the actual Mario Brothers 2, this guy, there was like this little thing I read, this guy would like test all these games when they came in, and I guess he couldn't beat it. So they were like, okay, well, if this guy can't beat it, then I don't think most of America is going to be able to beat this game. So we ended up getting Super Mario Brothers 2 USA. And yeah, it is a complete poop.
A dookie?
Yeah, it's a duke skis.
Yeah.
Poop skis.
Sometimes you just got to eat the dookie, though.
I do enjoy it, though. I mean, it's still... I did beat it. I killed Wart.
Nice.
Wart's the bad guy. He roughly looks like Bowser, but he's not. His name's Wart. He's like a frog instead of like a lizard or whatever. Well, instead of like a whatever Bowser is.
Yeah.
Lizard King. And then you got this mouse that throws bombs. And then you have Birdo, who is actually a it's said in the instruction booklet that he is a transvestite. It's like a confused boy.
Huh. That lays eggs.
Yeah. I think that's why he is so confused, so he just wears a bow and shoots steaming eggs out of his mouth.
Huh. And that's in the manual?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know like the whole story. I don't know the whole story about it, but I do know that there is something in the manual about it. And there's a whole thing about it. So
I'm intrigued. I'm gonna have to check that out. I'm writing down Birdo Lady ?
Cool. Let's
try to figure out what's going on there. Trivia.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to say Castlevania.
Ooh. That's so hard.
It is. It is very hard. And that's what she said. She did say that. She said that. There is also a number two of that, and that one sucks. Castlevania Simon's Quest.
Oh.
Yeah, that game is kind of like a follow-up of nothing because it's lame.
Huh. Something about number two games. There's...
Yeah, because Link's Quest, Legend of Zelda 2, was also just pretty bad.
Yeah.
I never really played it, because you would, like, you know, you'd have this aerial view, and then you'd run into a guy, and then it'd turn into a side-scroller, and then you'd die, and then you don't want to play it after that.
Yeah.
Pretty much how it goes. So, yeah, Zelda, the first Zelda's really good. Castlevania, Contra...
Ooh.
Contra and Tecmo Super Bowl, which actually is like one of the only sports games I've really only played.
For me, it was NHL 94.
Okay.
I think that was Super Nintendo, not
Super. Nintendo. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Super. Sorry.
And maybe even Sega Genesis.
Had NHL 94?
I think so.
Probably. That was like the hockey game.
Because I know in Mallrats, the movie Mallrats, he's playing it because he's playing it and he's ignoring his girlfriend or whatever. And she's like, I was crying in the bathroom. Or whatever. I don't know. It's a good movie though. If no one's out there has seen Mallrats, which I'm pretty sure everyone's seen that movie.
Classic Kevin Smith.
Oh, yes. I would have you, I give you guys that word of advice to go see it.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a good five for the NES. I'm more of a SNES person, so.
Oh, well, you're in luck because the next question is top five SNES games, Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Not necessarily top five, but five of your most favorite ones.
Whew. Well, I want to first say that the Super Nintendo is my all-time favorite system.
Oh.
Still to this day. It's super nostalgic for me. It's the system I grew up with.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, okay. So my all-time favorite game, you know what, I think I'm just gonna go with my all-time favorite game ever is Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, well, that takes care of that question. I had that question for later, but
my all-time favorite game?
Yep.
You can ask it later, because maybe there will be a debate between a game.
Okay. Well, you'll have some time to stew on that.
Totally. But yeah, no, Super Mario RPG has been it's always there. It's so amazing. You got all these different characters, which I loved about it. You got Geno, you got Mallow. Geno is this puppet. And basically what happens in the game is there's this giant sword that comes down from the sky, summoned by this guy Smithy, who's actually like the final boss. And I believe the sword, his name is Exodus or something like that, along the lines of that. And what happens is when he falls from the sky, he tears some of the stars down from the star road. So the whole point of the game is you got to find the seven stars repair the Star Road. But in one of the scenes, you actually see like a little baby star or something come down, and he goes into the body of this this doll named Gino. And when you first meet Gino, he's like, "Well, this is just I'm actually a star, and my name is," and it's like a bunch of symbols, like an exclamation point, a question mark, a pound sign, and like a little star symbol or something like that. And he's like, "Well, you can just call me Gino." So you just call him Gino. And then you got Mallow, who thinks he's a tadpole because he grows up from this guy Frog Fuchsius. And it's so the scene's so funny because he's like sitting there and he's like, Frog Fuchsius is like, "Mallow, I gotta tell you something. You're not a frog," and everything is like dun 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 dun. And he's like, "I saw you floating down the river, and I got you." And he picked him up and he raised him. And then later on, spoiler alert, you find out that Mallow is actually a prince.
Oh.
For the cloud world. So it's, yeah, that game's awesome. Highly recommend it. You can download it on the Wii, on the shop channel there. So my number two is going to have to probably be Kirby Superstar.
Mm.
That's another one I absolutely love. And I just remember back in the day, me and my brother would walk up to Mammoth Video. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Mammoth Video, but it's an old video store from like the 90s.
Back and I think the maybe 1900s.
Yeah, back in the 1900s, could actually rent Super Nintendo games. yeah, we would rent Kirby Superstar and just beat it. I've beaten that game so many times because the thing about those old cartridge games, if you have them on and you accidentally bump them or like pull the cord too tight, it freezes, and there's your data most of the time. Like all your data will erase.
Oh man.
So I've always had to rebeat the game or whatever. But that game's always fun. And the re-release on the DS was just awesome because you got all this extra content. But yeah, that game's super awesome. And then my number three, I mean, I'm going to say the Donkey Kong Country series.
Ooh, yeah.
A lot of people don't like Donkey Kong Country 3.
Hmm.
But for me, that was like a game I remember getting for my grandma, like brand new out of the box. And I really enjoyed it. It was probably the most complex Donkey Kong, I would say, because it came out as the 64 came out. Mm-hmm. So that was still when they were still making games for Super while 64 was out, that was on there.
Was that like the Frozen one? Am I thinking of something else?
What do you mean by the Frozen
Kong
one?
Donkey Kong 2 was Diddy Kong's Quest, right?
Yeah.
And then the third one, was that the girl Donkey Kong?
Yeah, it was Dixie Kong and Kitty Kong. Kitty Kong, I don't know his whole backstory. I think that's just Donkey Kong's kid, maybe. They don't really say too much about it, but he's basically like the Donkey Kong character. Because in the first one, you got Donkey Kong who can jump on the purple guys and kill them. But if Diddy tries to jump on them, they kind of block him off. And, you know, you have to, like, roll, do your little somersault. Whereas in the second one, you had two skinny characters. And then in the third one, they kind of brought back the stronger character who was Kitty Kong, who wears a onesie.
Ooh.
Just kind of funny. Yeah, that I did enjoy number three, even though a lot of people are like, I didn't really like it, but I enjoyed it, and it's up there. I still really like it. Let's see, Link to the Past.
Yeah,
that's another one I just absolutely love. Oh my gosh, how could I forget Yoshi's Island?
Yeah,
love that game. Absolutely love it. The first boss is like my favorite boss ever. He's like so easy, But like what happens is every time you throw an egg at him, his pants get shorter and shorter, and then by the end of the battle, he's just completely naked. And then he blushes, and then he just starts farting and shooting around the screen and then blows up into glitter.
Amazing.
It's, yeah. And then Claymates, Castlevania 4.
So many good games.
Oh my gosh. Goof Troop. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah.
It's always a good time.
Great, great console. Top Nintendo 64 games.
Oh my gosh. Killing me right now, Chris.
Sorry. Chris,
what are you doing?
The library for that's not quite as deep, but there's a lot of gold in there.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I'm going to start with Mario 64.
Yeah, that's possibly my favorite game of all time.
Yeah. Mario 64 was... Oh my gosh. When I saw that get played for the first time,
yeah,
I was like, oh my gosh. Because my buddy Jesse, his dad had one.
Oh.
And I just remember going over there and I just remember like trying to take all of that in for the first time. It's like, it was, because I was so young too. So like, I was still like, you know, I didn't know what was going on really with like this whole change. And seeing that, I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't Super Nintendo, you know? But yeah, Mario 64. God, Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
When Rareware had their heyday. So many good Rare games. One of my favorite, too, is Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Ooh.
That game is so good. It's so ridiculously funny and just like it's gory and they swear. It's so good. Oh my gosh, let's see, so those three. God, Mario Kart 64. Oh, I mean, God. That's like so all-time classic, you know. Yes. Oh yeah, so many hours, man.
The best battle mode.
Oh yeah, by far.
In a Mario Kart game.
Yeah, because we were just playing Mario Kart 8 battle.
Yeah, and not the same.
No, it's just not. And they like, it's stupid because they use like full actual like race tracks instead of like a battle zone.
Yeah, that was so weird.
I didn't like that at all. It was too far apart and just. Okay, so for number, what are we on, number 5?
Yeah.
Ooh, let's see here. I'm just going to go with Kirby 64. Kirby 64 was what I wanted to see a Kirby game become, with like the 3D graphics, but it's still a side scroller kind of thing, you know what I'm trying to say? And I absolutely loved it. You could combine the powers. I mean, you could be a refrigerator. You could throw dynamite. You could have a flame sword. Like, so amazing. So amazing. That game is really good. And it's still the only Kirby game where you can combine powers. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if you suck up two different people, or even two at the same time, you kind of get that randomizer. And then you can click it and you could be whatever. But you know, there was just so many different powers in that one. And then, I mean, you got GoldenEye.
Oh, so perfect, many hours.
Oh yeah. Perfect Dark. Same thing.
The laptop gun.
Oh my gosh. Yep. I'm going to plant a couple there, Yep. Cool. I'm just going to camp here for a little while and snipe and grab the Magnum or something.
It's still... They had a weapon in the game called the N-bomb. Why? Maybe that was like a cultural mistranslation.
I don't know.
All right. Which video games would you like to play that you haven't yet?
Ooh.
For the older Nintendo consoles.
For the older, huh?
NES to 64 range.
Um, Jeez, I don't really know. I've played a lot of like stuff that I haven't played.
Yeah. Are there any that you've been saving or putting off?
You know, I actually never played Majora's Mask.
Oh, all right.
That'd be something to look into. Zelda Majora's Mask. Let me think. I'd like to replay like all the Clay Fighters for 64. Those are really good games. Maybe try to beat that Sub-Zero game. There's like a Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. Like, he had his own adventure game, and it was just like stupid hard.
I never played that one.
There's a Castlevania for 64. There's actually, I found out there's two. I played the first one, but then there is a second one that came out. Even though those games were bad, I still wouldn't mind playing it.
All right. Number one all-time favorite video game.
Okay, so here's when the debate comes in.
All right.
And I can't believe I didn't say this for the 64. How did I forget? Paper Mario.
Ooh.
It's between Super Mario RPG and Paper Mario.
That is tough.
I love Paper Mario, but I love Mario RPG. How do I decide?
You don't have to. They can both be all-time favorite.
They are, I mean, they're pretty dang, well, they're not that similar, but they're both RPG, and God, I love, it's hard, because I'm like debating, like, well, I like the music, and the, but no, but that is, and then the fighting, and I think I like, because they both have timed attacks, because you can, like, press A and do, like, extra damage. And then I like the partner system in Super Mario or Paper Mario rather. And I like the paper aspect of it. I thought that was really cool because everyone's like, "Oh my god, Paper Mario!" It's like, "What are you gonna do? Fight scissors or something?" It's like, no, it's like an actual game. It's just that's the style of it is paper. Which these new Paper Marios completely suck. It's so bad what they did with the series because you have Paper Mario, and then you had the one for GameCube, which was awesome too. And then
the Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, the Thousand Year Door.
Yeah.
And then you had Super Paper Mario, which was still good, but like kind of strayed away from the RPG aspect.
Was that the Wii one?
That was the one for the Wii. Yep.
Yeah.
And then I don't even want to get into the new ones. Like,
let's not talk about it.
Yeah, they're just that disappointing.
Yeah. All right, number one all-time favorite video game character.
Wow. Jeez. I'm gonna say Kirby.
Yeah.
I love Mario and I love Star Fox and Link and like all the main, out of all the main Nintendo characters, I think Kirby's my favorite. There's just something about, he's just like, I mean, he's round, he's you know, like round as a shape just means like happy and like playful and whatever. Yeah. But then he's also like can be a badass and like can turn into, you know, suck guys up and take their power and friggin' turn into a rock in Smash Brothers, or you know what I mean?
It's a very multifaceted character.
And I've always loved the Kirby series. Yeah, it's just always been, and it's funny too, because I've actually had people make me things out of clay and it's always been Kirby. I don't know if it's just because he's easy to make or if like maybe I just like, oh yeah, Kirby, or you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm going to have to go with Kirby as like my favorite video game character.
Nice.
For sure.
Number one all-time favorite video game movie.
Super Mario Brothers. And I know what you're thinking. Why? Why?
No, I love it.
I love that
movie.
It's
so good.
I love it.
I don't know why anyone talks bad about it.
Yeah.
It's the perfect Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I can see, because I did watch some video on the making of it or whatever. And Dennis Hopper, who plays Bowser.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, in an interview, he goes, his son asks him, he goes, "So, Dad, why did you do the Mario Brothers movie, you know, if it's so bad or whatever?" And he goes, "Well, son, I needed to put shoes on your feet." And his son goes, "I didn't need shoes that bad." That is...
Damn.
Wow. Ripping on it. But it's like it became a cult classic.
Yeah.
You know, because at first everyone was like giving it shit or whatever. And then it did. It became a cult classic. And even though the director sucked and, you know, they were actually rewriting the script. I think the script got rewritten like 20 something times during shooting.
Oh, geez.
And everyone was getting wasted on set. Like John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins were just getting hammered. And like, in one of the scenes, John Leguizamo was driving, and I guess Bob Hoskins, I forget exactly what they said, but somehow, like, I think he like did like an abrupt stop, and the door closed on Bob Hoskins' like arm or wrist or something. Ooh. So like in one of the shots, you can actually see he has like a pink cast on.
Jeez.
I haven't looked for it yet, but yeah, they said that they partied. They basically, it was just turned into a party.
Huh. I think that's on Netflix now.
Is it really?
I think so.
Because I already planned on watching that tonight.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
There you go. Number one all-time favorite video game TV show.
I'm going to have to go with Mega Man. The Mega Man TV show from the 80s.
The cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon. Mega Man, super fighting robot. Mega Man. Mega Man.
Do you ever play board games?
Not as much as I used to. Now that it's me and my roommate, if we are home together, which either I'm out, you know, school, work, doing improv, you know, hanging out with people out in Grand Rapids. I did used to play Mancala, the marbles. You're familiar?
Oh yeah, it's like, what is it, 6 or 8 little buckets per side?
Yep.
And you pick up one bucket and drop a single one as you go around the track, and you want the most on your end of the track. That's not a very good description, but...
Yeah, so you basically, like, so you have, like, these two buckets on each end, and those you can't pick from.
Yeah.
So essentially, by the end of the game, you don't want any marbles on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game was always a classic. A lot of Clue. I used to play a lot of Clue with the fam. I want to get into more adult board games.
Like porno board games?
They do make that.
Oh, yeah?
I remember my mom had one from... God, I don't even remember, but I remember she's like, "No, you can't play that." Because it was like, I don't know. I forget, but I know she threw it out.
Keep that suppressed.
Oh crud, what was I gonna say? Clue. Oh, anyways, yeah. Grown up board games like Settlers of Catan.
Ooh, yeah.
I've never played that, but it sounds so fun.
All right, we'll have to do a game night sometime.
Yeah.
That's a really good
one. I wanna play that for sure.
Yeah.
I assume you own it.
I know someone. The Star Trek version.
Cool.
Because I was going to buy a copy of the normal game, and then it's like, oh, I can get the normal one, or basically the same price, the Star Trek one, which adds a little bit more. Like, there's a separate set of cards that add a different thing to the game.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, oh, sure. I like Star Trek. Why not?
Another game I just played not too long ago with, I think you were there with, at Tom's house, we played, what's it called? Crabs Adjust Humidity. Cards Against Humanity.
There's a Crabs one too.
Yeah.
An unofficial expansion. I wasn't there.
No?
I missed that one.
Damn.
That's a fun game.
That is fun.
Yeah. It's amazing in small doses. Like, if you play it every weekend, you're going to get burnt out pretty fast. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite games. Great party game.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I really enjoyed it very much.
Let's talk about film school.
Yay! Yeah, so, I'm currently at Grand Valley State University.
Go Lakers.
Yeah, go Lakers, anchor up, whatever. There's like a guy with a sailor hat sometimes I see. I want to get more involved at school. I actually don't know a lot. I kind of just go there and then go home kind of thing. But I am trying to get more involved. I try to go to like different film events and whatnot. So yeah, I started January of 2016. And I had to take, before I could even get into the film program, I had to take a media modes class, which was basically watching films and then writing about them, essentially. Oh,
nice. Like classic films?
Yeah, some classic. I mean, like we started out watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ooh,
which,
so good.
Oh my God, yeah. It's amazing. Couple foreign films. We like talked about like French New Wave and like Cinema Novo, whatever. Italian neorealism. We had to watch like a documentary. We talked about like Hitchcock, stuff like that. Some of the classic stuff. We watched Citizen Kane, classic. So I had to take that, and then I also took a script writing class, which was awesome. But then I had to write like why I should be accepted in the film program. So I had to like write an essay for them and, and send them links to my work. 'Cause I had already taken a media production class in community college, and it actually ended up transferring over. So I only really needed to take the modes class, and I took the script writing. I mean, I was going to have to either way, but yeah, I took the script writing, and I loved it. I'm actually in the middle of writing a script right now. I want to do a feature length film eventually.
Nice.
Maybe try to get a budget or something for it. We'll see what happens.
What genre?
It's going to be like a comedy detective movie.
Okay. Like Pink Panther.
Yeah. Like Pink Panther, but the girl sidekick, like the female role, she's going to be like kind of the comic relief, you could say, for it.
Okay.
'Cause, the main character's kind of serious, but you know, has his moments. I still have quite a bit to write. It's been like a project since last summer. I was like, oh, I originally wanted to make it into a stage show and put it on at Dog Story.
Nice.
But I was writing it too scripty, and I was like, yeah, this is like, it's a movie now. Like, I can't. I mean, I guess I could try to put it on screen, but the way I have stuff lined up, it's like it needs to be cinematic rather than like a stage play.
Okay.
So I just decided I'm gonna make it into an actual like feature length. I kind of planned, like, my mom always said, like, you know, you and your brother should do a movie together. Like the Farrelly brothers or whatever. The guys who do like Dumb and Dumber and
Something About Mary.
Yeah. So I was
myself and Irene.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
So good.
That's, oh my gosh. You think I can shove that chicken up his ass? And then they do, and then they show it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that's probably my favorite Jim Carrey movie.
That's, oh my gosh.
If you ever get the DVD,
mm-hmm.
in the bonus features, there's a deleted scene called Warming the Melon.
Oh yeah?
He fucks a watermelon. Oh. He warms it up in the oven, cuts a hole in it.
Oh my goodness. And then, yeah.
They don't show the fucking, but it's heavily implied. But I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Totally.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
Probably
my favorite outtake ever of any movie.
Oh, it's funny, man.
Yeah.
I got about a year left, I would say. I ended up taking a media production 2 last semester, and I actually had from Planned Parenthood, I had Sean McGinnity and Cameron Burwald in our short film or whatever called Download. And
as scientists.
Yeah, yeah, they were scientists. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but it was like a sci-fi post-apocalyptic. And essentially Cameron uploads his mind into a computer, and that's where his mind is still to this day. but yeah, we had to do like an individual edit. Like, you know, we all had the footage, and I called my individual edit post-apocalyptic scientists in a computer room, which is what it was.
Yeah.
And I made an acronym. It's like, what is it? Post-apocalyptic scientists, PASIAR, or something like that. But it was cool. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed that version of it. And then the semester I'm currently in, I'm talking about film theories, which is very confusing and hard. And then I'm in a world cinema, which is basically writing about cinema around the world, which isn't bad. I've been watching a lot of interesting movies in that class.
There's a Latin American film festival coming up at Wealthy Theater.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's next week. Okay, yeah. I need to look into that. And actually, it's funny you say that because my teacher said if I write about one of the films, I'll get extra credit.
Yeah, if you go, let me know.
Someone do that.
I'll check that out.
Totally, man. So yeah, hopefully get done in about a year. And this summer I plan on really doing more film stuff. Last summer I just kind of worked 2 jobs and was still figuring things out. I was still new to the city and stuff. So I think this summer, I'd like to shoot as much as possible, and just get a portfolio or demo reel, whatever, going. So get ready for the real world.
Cool, man. All right. Next question. Are you ticklish?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I have a sweet spot.
Oh.
Yeah, it's right, I don't know, kind of near my back, front. I shouldn't tell anyone. People hit it sometimes, and they get me going, and I can feel, like, they're, like, if they touch it, like, that spot, and tickle it or whatever, I know, like, I'm like, stop. Like, I tell them, you can't do that anymore. Like, and I, cause I can still feel it, but no one's touching me. Like, it's weird. I'm just like, no, stop. You cannot do that.
All right. Next question. How ticklish would you say you are?
I would say that I'm on the Richter scale, probably like a 9.
Wow.
Okay, like an 8.5.
Mm. Okay.
Because I am pretty ticklish.
Do you like, dislike, or hate to be tickled, and why?
Kind of goes back to the sweet spot. It's weird because it's like, I like it and it's fun, but it's like, don't do it, but do it. Just don't do it. And it's kind of confusing. Maybe I'm just confused. I'm like Birdo. I'm just confused about how ticklish I am.
When you are asked, are you ticklish? How do you normally respond and why?
Normally, I just tell people that you can tickle me if you want to. I may just be confused.
I recently watched a documentary called Tickled, which is on HBO right now.
Oh.
That I'm not just asking weird tickle questions.
Oh, okay.
Well, I am, but they're from that movie.
Okay, which, I gotcha. Which is
crazy. I would definitely recommend watching it. Like, don't do any research. Just jump right in and enjoy the madness. It's about competitive tickling. That's how it starts out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's one of the strangest movies I've seen. Well, next one, I wrote in Samurai Jack, ?
Yes.
I don't know about this, so I'm going to grab a beer while you're discussing it with Josh and Tom and Sean and Matt and Erica.
Okay.
Would you like another?
Yeah, I could do one for sure.
Need some more water?
No, I'll just have the beers good.
All right.
So yeah, I was I was at work and I saw a commercial and I was like, wow, that looks just like the animator of Samurai Jack. Like, what is this? And then when the commercial ended, I was like, it was like, Jack is back. I was like, oh my God, it is Samurai Jack. I guess Adult Swim actually ended up buying Samurai Jack. And like rebooting it. From what I've heard so far, it's supposed to be like 3 seasons long, and they're gonna like finish up the story on that. From what I've heard, I literally just saw the commercial, but it got me like super stoked about it, and it looks awesome. And I'm kind of hoping that because Adult Swim picked it up, that it is a little bit more adult, I guess. Maybe they'd be able to get away with a little bit more. But the thing is like, either way, Samurai Jack is still kind of a more adult geared, I guess, cartoon. Which that's another thing I need to like catch up on. Cause I mean, I've seen season 1 I own. I think I own season 1 and 2, but then 3 and 4, I believe, is on Hulu right now. So I'm going to watch all of those, and I think it'd be a lot of fun.
All right. You are a member of my favorite improv troupe, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
I'm the president of the unofficial fan club.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a new member tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Kimmy, she joined.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good news.
So how did you first get involved with Planned Parenthood?
Well, when I first moved out here, I actually came out here in 2015 for the 2015 Grand Rapids Improv Festival with my troupe from Detroit called Unicornucopia.
Oh.
We came out here. We are a Herald troupe. We've kind of strayed away from like the super hardcore Herald, and we're a little bit looser now.
What is a Herald?
Herald is basically it's a type of long form. It's pretty structured. It basically starts out with like what would you call like an intro or like a group. I guess basically it's like group game. So like everyone's doing something and people like or different troops will start them out differently. Like in Beer City, I think they had like they would do like the noise where they would just go around and like kind of just build from that. Or in Unicornucopia, we tried a bunch of different ones where we would like start out and like do some kind of like latching each other's hands and like making something, and then someone would be off to the side like telling a story about that, whatever we made. And then so you like start out and then it's like three scenes, then another group game, and whatever that group game may be, like I said, like everyone kind of does it differently, then another set of scenes, group game, and then like a tangent. So it's basically like at the end you connect everything and just do these boom 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 quick scenes and just kind of get your laugh and you know what I mean and be done with it. So it really it all connects. And even in some of the group games there's like a clover effect where it'll be like you start here and then you clove out, kind of come back, clove out again, and then kind of just make your way back. So like stray away from it, come back, stray away, come back, and then kind of just bring everything together.
For the listening audience, Andy drew the shape of a clover in the air with his finger, the three leaves.
Yeah, I talk with my hands, and now that I think about it, it's like, yeah, this is a audio thing, so I don't think anyone's going to be able to see that.
Sorry about that, Josh and Tom and Matt and Erica and Sean.
Sorry about that, guys. I am now scratching my hand.
He is. BTW. He's scratching his left hand with his right hand.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying BTW a lot.
What does that stand for? Like, be the way?
By the way.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a religious thing.
No, I like acronyms.
Yeah.
I think they're awesome. Like, at work, we have gluten-free buns and we got a call for them because I'll get the ticket. I work in a restaurant. It's called Red Robin. It's good. They got hamburgers there.
All you can eat French fries.
All you can eat.
That's what they're famous for.
It's so good.
Are the burger patties frozen?
No.
No?
They're fresh.
Oh.
Yep. Interesting. Good old Wolverine Packing Company straight out Detroit, son.
It's made out of Wolverines?
Straight up wolves. Wolverines. Oh,
huh.
Straight up mutant guys that have claws.
Oh.
Yeah.
X-Men meat. Yep. I guess it regenerates, so that's an unlimited supply of burger meat. That's
exactly.
That's brilliant.
It is.
Oh my goodness. No wonder they're so successful.
Mm-hmm.
That really cuts your costs down.
Oh yeah, so anyways, I have to pull the tickets, and it'll say gluten-free bun, and I'll say GFB. Because it reminds me of BFG.
The Big Friendly Giant? Or the Big Fucking Gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Doom.
Doom.
Doom is such a good game.
It is.
First person shooter. Every time you get hit, your face gets bloodier and bloodier. And then you just die.
Yeah. John Carmack. There's actually a book there behind you called Masters of Doom. That's the history of the game. The creation, wow. The John Carmack and who's the other John? I think it's two Johns.
David Kushner? Kushner?
I think he just wrote about it. I don't think he was involved in the creation process.
Oh. Gotcha.
Interesting book, though, if you enjoy Doom that much, like the backstory of how it came about.
Yeah. I loved Doom 3. Doom 3 was amazing. It was so scary. And I never played Doom 2, but I do have the instruction booklet, or not the instruction booklet, the player's guide. randomly.
Those can be really hard to come by, mm-hmm. depending on the game.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like, I was looking at, I think it was like Zelda 1.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like $80 or something ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny is if you don't get the player's guide like right away, they shoot up in price because it's like, oh, well, once we run out, we don't care. You know?
Yeah. Did you get the player's guide for the new Breath of the Wild?
No, but to be honest, I'm thinking about it. I never buy player's guides. Never have.
Yeah, it's almost like cheating.
That's actually a game to have it for.
Yeah, there's so much stuff in that game.
Yeah.
It's so complex.
There's way too much in that game to... And don't get me wrong, like, I love exploring games and stuff, but, like, with my busy life, I'm kind of at the point where it's like, okay, I just want to know where I'm going. Yeah. I want to know what I'm doing because I don't got the time to...
I want to experience the storyline without spending 10 hours, like, figuring out where to walk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot. I mean, the world's so big, it's like, you know, you do need a lot of time to just literally just walk around in that game.
I don't think I ever could have beaten, like, Zelda 1 without some sort of guide.
Oh,
like,
yeah, me neither.
I would never figure out those puzzles on my own.
Oh, heck no, man. It's so hard.
Yeah, and Ocarina, too. Like,
yeah.
It's so complex. If you want to do it right, you have to do some research.
Yeah. No, I agree, man, completely.
Had you been in any improv troupes before Planned Parenthood?
Yeah. I have. I had Unicornucopia.
They performed at Dog Story before.
Yep. Yep. And it's always a fun time. Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
And then...
How long were you with them?
I mean, I try to... Like, I still talk to everyone from it. And I like to try to go out there and... You know, do a show or something. It's been a while, like since Griff, I think. So it was the last time, Griff of 2016.
That's like a 2-hour drive, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a cruise. It's not too bad. It's definitely doable, but like to just go out there, perform, and then kind of just come back.
It's a long.
It's
night.
Hard. But I've done it before. I mean, I've done the drive there and back plenty of times, so it's not like anything too bad. Let me think. I've done a couple pop-up shows. Like, I booked my own improv show at this place called The Sanctuary in Detroit. It's actually a concert venue, but I talked to the guy, Daniel, and he was like, yeah, man, just if you want to come out and do a show, that'd be awesome. And it was like me, my brother, my friend Doug Kolbix, his sister, Mary Beth, came out. Who else was there? Aaron Johnstone. And I want to say there was like one other person, but I cannot remember because it was, I think that was back in 2015 of October. It was like right before Griff because I remember I had that set up ready to go. And then I was coming out for Griff. And it was just, that was actually a pretty good year. I did a lot of shows that year. I did stand up for not for my first time, but I did do stand up that year. It's hard. Like, I don't know. I like stand up. Like it's fun, but I'm definitely more improv person than stand up, I guess.
Would you like to do more stand up in the future?
Yeah, I would like to try it again. I just need to get, I guess, better at it. Start practicing it more. I think my stuff it can be funny, but I don't know. I didn't really have anything like super written in stone. It was kind of like ideas and I would just go off of them more than like, this is what I'm going to say. Here's the punchline. It's just kind of like I had ideas and would go up there and kind of like improvise a little bit, you know?
improvised stand-up.
Yeah. There is, I did try Stan Prov before, where essentially you get, they pull a word out of a hat and you improvise stand-up, essentially.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And have you done much sketch comedy, or is that something that you're interested in?
I'm very interested in it. It's something I never really did. I never really did like too much sketch. Just really like my comedy background is like mainly just improv for the most part. I mean, I did some plays in school acting wise. I did take acting classes at community college, and I did take one improv class in community college.
A GRCC?
No, I went to Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn. I went there from like straight out of high school to shit. I was probably like 22 when I graduated from there. Took me a while, but I did it. I took a lot of classes, so had a lot of credits.
Yeah, it's good to figure out what you want to dig deep into.
Right.
Experience a wide variety of things.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorite comedy movies?
Let's see. Old School.
Oh, yeah.
I love Old School. The scene when he's at the birthday and he shoots himself in the neck. Will Ferrell shoots himself in the neck. Like, that's still probably one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen.
He falls into the pool.
Yeah.
Hello, darkness, my friend.
Which, actually, I found out that that was from The Graduate. Have you ever seen The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman? It's like a 60s movie.
I watched the whole thing. Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, Mrs. Robinson. Yeah, it's that whole Simon and Garfunkel. Hello, Mrs. Robinson.
Hey. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray.
Pray, yep.
Hey.
Doom to doom to doom to doom. But yeah, The Graduate, or yeah, Old School. That scene. There's actually a scene in The Graduate when he's like in this scuba suit and he falls into the pool and they have that song playing.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, and I made the connection.
I never knew that reference.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you know that now.
Today I learned. What was that?
I have no idea. It sounded like a cop.
Popo's outside?
Yeah. You know what they say, though? No cop, no stop. So you don't have to stop at the stop sign if there's not a cop around.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, because there might be a pedestrian that wants to walk across the street.
Or cross traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bicyclists.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to, but you definitely should.
Yeah. Integrity.
Yeah. Even when no one's looking.
That's right.
If you could spend time with one comedian, living or dead, who would it be and why?
I'm going to have to say probably Chris Farley. Chris Farley's hilarious, and I've actually had a lot of people tell me that I'm like him, I guess, in different ways. Kind of the big personality. And I've always just been like, you know, like a big character, or just kind of louder and bigger dude in general, like mass wise. I don't know how you would.
You're pretty tall.
You know? I don't know. I definitely take a lot of inspiration from him. Just like with his movements and like just the way, you know, gets all loud and yeah, I really do like Chris Farley. A lot.
Did you ever see Dirty Work?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Saigon whore bit my nose off.
Saigon whore. He always does that.
Andy's moving his arms jerkily back and forth like a runner in like a really low frame rate.
Yeah. You know it. You know it.
Hamburgers or hot dogs, and why?
Hamburgers. I love hamburgers. Love them. And it's not just because I work at a burger joint. I've always liked hamburgers more. I just feel like you get more out of them. Hot dogs are easier to eat. I mean, I guess they could still be pretty messy.
Depends on the toppings.
Yeah, you can definitely put more on a hamburger, though, I feel like. And it's, I guess, more convenient. Because if you were to, like, put as much stuff as you do on a hamburger, I don't know, maybe it would fall off of the
hot dog. Hot dog bun is not very conducive to large quantities of toppings.
Right. I mean, it's really, I mean, you really can only hold the hot dog in there. And then you have, like, I mean, some room for, like, ketchup and mustard. But I don't know. I mean, I love Coney dogs, though, too. Mm. I did work for a hot dog cart for a while. So I do have respect for hot dogs. But damn it, I love my hamburgers.
Yep. What is Operation Ivysaur?
Oh, so I got this shirt, and there's a really good punk ska band. They were only around for like 2 years, called Operation Ivy. A lot of people probably have heard of them. They're well known because they were like the ones who kind of started like punk ska music.
Hmm.
And yes, I'm wearing a shirt. It says Operation Ivysaur. So it's basically just a play, like, instead of Operation Ivy, Operation Ivysaur. And, yeah, I saw this, I went on this site, it's called Redbubble. Are you familiar?
Nope.
Oh, man. You gotta check out Redbubble.
Redbubble?
Yes.
That sounds like, should I go there in incognito mode?
No, you should go there and look up any kind of video game shirts, any kind of anything, because it's all independent people that make shirts and put them up there. It's a little pricey. Like, you're gonna, like, I think I spent like close to $30 on this shirt, but I'm also bigger, so I gotta get like a bigger shirt size. Like, you know, I think it's like I usually get 2X. So like after, once you hit 2X, it's like, oh no, we're gonna charge you like $3 more. Yeah. You know. They do that because they're like, well, we got to use more cotton, more fabric.
It's a scam.
Yeah, man, they're scamming us.
It's a hustle.
But yeah, so yeah, this is just kind of a play on the Operation Ivy thing. And I saw it and I was like, oh, God, it's you know, it's a freaking Pokemon shirt and ska. Like, yeah, dude, of course I'm going to buy this. It's awesome.
All right, final question of the interview portion.
Sure.
If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Don't smoke cigarettes. I would tell my 16-year-old self to not smoke cigs. Because it sucks trying to quit when you've been smoking as long as I have. But I do plan on quitting. It's one thing I do plan on doing. Because I think once you get older, you kind of start thinking about your health more. Because you're like, well, I'm getting older and I'm not invincible. So.
And your body starts to break.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're like, wow, I ache and I can't breathe. I can't walk up a flight of stairs without panting. Like, it's bad. It's so bad.
Hangovers get really bad too.
Yeah, hangovers are way worse. Yeah, I like the other night I drank a lot And the next morning I was like, no, like, why am I just like, yeah, I'm going to drink a crap ton. Like, yeah. At this point, I'd rather have like a couple beers and not get wasted, but kind of have that like, oh, I feel good. And
yeah, a little buzz.
Not passy outy. Like, I'm not going to like just pass out, you know?
Yeah. Like, but two beers, two waters.
Yeah.
If you alternate, that's usually not the worst.
Yeah, totally, man.
But at some point, the juice is not worth the squeeze.
Right.
That's a quote from The Girl Next Door, one of my all-time favorite kind of romantic comedy movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Very underrated. You don't really hear about that anymore. But Emile Hirsch and Elizabeth Cuthbert.
Okay, yeah.
Where she's like a porn star that moves in next to him.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he's like his senior year of high school.
Okay, yeah. 30. Is that the one where she's like, I'm all wet, can I come in?
Yes.
I have not seen that movie in quite some time. That's I need to watch one. That.
Yeah.
You know what I love doing is rewatching movies.
Yes.
Like, because you're like, oh, I haven't seen this in so long. And then you pick up on so much more stuff.
Yeah, and your whole worldview has kind of changed. Like, you're looking at it from a new perspective.
So right.
It means different things. I heard once that, like, for all the major things in your life, you're supposed to experience it, like, at three different times. So, like, you're supposed to watch a movie at three different periods or read a book at three different periods because you'll understand different things about it and it'll mean different things to you.
Nice. Yeah, that's... Well, I guess I'm due for... The Girl Next Door, then.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right.
McGoats.
Well, that'll conclude the first portion of the podcast. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back with the mini segments. I still haven't had time to set up a musical transition into the break, so if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of musical performance and then ring the bell when you've reached completion.
Okay.
So I know to stop it.
Sure.
Whenever you're
just
ready.
Just like an instrumental, or do you want me to sing?
It's up to you. Like, whatever is...
Okay.